Hi everybody and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. It's the 9th of October 2011. My name's Rob from robnamphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, hi everybody. I'm recording this in the evening, late in the evening, Gosport in the UK. And there might be a little bit of background noise from Suzanne, my wife's computer. It seems to be clinking away, making some rather strange noises. I don't know what it's up to. But she's upstairs watching Downton Abbey, and this is my opportunity to record a quick podcast to share with everybody all over the internet. Okay, first up, so it's a Sunday today, which means car boot sale this morning, or car boot sales. And I've managed to pick up another Olympus Trip 35. This one from the rather wonderful price of £5 exactly. And this one has actually got the chrome shutter button, which means it's quite an early model. But after doing my full check, it all appears to be working nicely. It's in great condition. There's one thing kind of missing from it, which is when you look through the viewfinder on the back, there's normally like this like black plastic surround, and it looks like that's fallen off, but that's pretty minor for the condition of the camera. The lens is nice and clear. When you put your hand over the front of the lens in automatic mode, the little red button pops up. And then when you cycle through all the different apertures in the manual mode, when you look at the front of the camera, the blades, you know, they go to the opening. They should be f2.8, opens all the way through to f22, which tightens to a small little bit. I've loaded this particular one with some out-of-date Fuji 400 speed film. I can't remember where I picked that up from. So I think what I'll probably do, what my plan with the trips, let's take a step back. Why do I like the Olympus Trip so much? The Olympus Trip 35.
I think that the main reason is because it doesn't need a battery, but it's automatic exposure. So it has all the advantages of a mechanical film camera, and the fact that you don't have to worry about charging batteries up ever. You don't have to carry a light meter as well. In fact, the only real way to use an Olympus Trip most of the time is in fully automatic mode, and you let the camera sort out the exposure and you just worry about focusing, which is done with a distance scale. So zone focusing, you have 1 meter, 1.5, 3, and then infinity, and you just sort of match the little pictures of little people and mountains on the top of the lens. Or if you look underneath, there's actually a distance scale in feet and meters, so that's really cool. And you can just pick it up and shoot. And the lens is nice. It's a 40mm lens, so it's a good focal length. Not too wide, not too telly. And it's a maximum aperture of f2.8, which means that with a 400 speed film, actually, if you've got the lights on the inside or if it's during the day, you can actually shoot inside, which is quite nice. When you do start shooting in low light, though, you do have to be careful, because when the lens opens up to f2.8, your depth of field will be small, which means that you do have to get the focus in light exact. It's metal cased, it's tough, it's retro, I guess. The viewfinder is nice and bright. And, you know, the problem with lots of old film cameras and compacts and things is that they use expensive, strange batteries. You know, so you pick up a camera for a fiver or a tenner at a car boot sale or thrift sale, but then you've got to spend £12 on a battery. The Olympus Trip 35, you don't have to do that. Now, there's lots of duffers out there. You know, there's lots of long ones where basically the aperture rings are stuck. And if you check the internet, there are lots of instructions for repairing them. So if you do feel adventurous, it is easily done. You only really just need some watchmaker's screwdrivers, some like lighter fluid or some sort of solvent to clean the blades, and then a little bit of graphite powder to re-lubricate them. You have this fantastic camera that, you know, I'm sure in 20 years' time people will still be shooting with Olympus Trip 35s. and whether we can still say the same for example, my Canon 350D. I just don't know, but I just like them. I just like them. So there we go. I've got another Olympus Trip 35. And the idea is to have the idea was always to have two. Being a bit greedy here, one with black and well, ideally I'd like three, because I've sold some over the years, getting them at the car boot sale when we've needed some cash. But ideally we'd have three. You see, you'd have one with black and white filming, which would be my trip with the black shutter button. One with colour filming, which I guess would be this one with the silver button. And then a third with slide film in for cross-processing. Now, can you imagine that? That'd be really cool, wouldn't it? I'd have to have, like, my low-pro shoulder bag just full of trip cameras. But that kind of negates the point of having these compact cameras and just have one. But I guess... So what I'm going to do, actually, maybe this evening and over the next week, is I'm going to write to loads of film manufacturers. Well, there aren't that many, are there? But there's quite a few film suppliers, people like Ilford and people... and say I need a film sponsor for the website, and send me some free rolls of 35mm film, hopefully, you know, black and white, and maybe some 120 as well, so I can dig out the Mamiya C33. And then what I really want is a scanner. I always kind of the V500 from Epson that I had a few months ago that I talked about was an excellent scanner, because it did 35mm. The 120 medium format, and it was a great flatbed as well, because the one remaining camera that I'm on the lookout for at the car boot sales, you know, the last one that I think would, I mean, you can never complete your collection, do you, but the camera that I'd like is another Instax Mini, I think, another Instax Mini, and I'd be pretty happy with that. Olympus Trip 35, the Instax Mini, and then my digital SLR. I think there you've got a great group of cameras there. But you know, I do need a decent scanner, and I've used the the Photo Perfection 1660 I talked about over the last couple of weeks. It's fine, but it doesn't do medium format, and I wouldn't mind grabbing the C33 and taking some shots with that. I did dabble. We went to Best Buy and Curry's PC World today, looking for some laptops for Oliver for Christmas. And at Dixon's, well, sorry, at Curry's, they did have a clearance on these Ion Film 2 CD scanners, where you could get them for £50, which is about half the normal price. But I've looked at the reviews online, and they're a little bit of a mixed bag. So I think I'd rather save up for the Epson V500, which goes for about £140 to £150 on Amazon. And I think that they had it on special, or that they had it on sale at PC World, I think, for about £150, and that's definitely a good one. So there we go, Olympus Trip 35. I've droned on enough about that. If you've listened to the Film Photography Podcast, you know that Mike Grasso likes the Trip 35, but he's had a problem with a couple of them breaking on him. But, you know, that's the whole thing about buying cheap cameras from car boot sales and thrift stores. Sometimes they don't carry on. Actually, I've just noticed I've just wound the film on my Trip 35, so I'd better actually just quickly take a shot so when it goes in my pocket for work tomorrow, it won't accidentally fire. So here we go. You can hear it. Oh well, no, the little red light popped up. There's not enough light in here. So what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to manual mode. Go to 2.8. I'm going to. Actually, there is another way you could do it as well. One of the things you do with the Trip is, because you can change the ASA, because you put that in manually rather than with films that auto-detect the film speed. Can I do a little bit of... Oh no, I can't do exposure compensation and push the film, because 400 is the biggest it has. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to clunk down to f2.8. And when you come out of automatic mode, you can just put it in 2.8. And what happens then is the shutter speed automatically goes to a 40th of a second, because that's the flash sync speed, and then you can fire it so that the shutter will fire. Now there we go. Now just remember to click it back to A though, so when I fire it next, it'll work out the exposure for me. What I thought I'd do today would go through the photo assignment from last month, because we had some excellent, I don't like to use the word entry, submissions
in the thread over at Flickr on the rodmanfoto.com thread. But first, a word from my sponsor, from our sponsors. I know last week I said we'd be the last from GoToMeeting, but they've decided to carry on, which is excellent. So GoToMeeting is a software solution that enables you to have interactive conference calls that now include HD faces, which is high definition video conferencing calls. So you can be calling somebody on the other side of the world, in another room in that building, or on the other side of town. Not only they can hear your voice with voice over internet telephony even, they can also see what's on your desktop, and they can also see you in person as well. So you can forget spending all that money on petrol or train or hire cars. You can just be there almost in person having a meeting which will be constructive, and it will also be incredibly useful and engaging for the other people as well. It's not like when you're on the end of the phone on a conference call and you're not really listening, you're reading the newspaper or playing around with your smartphone. With the GoToMeeting HD Faces meeting, you're there. You're there without touching, which is quite good. Anyway, you don't have to take my word for it. Try it for free. Go to the URL, GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code podcast and give it a go free for 30 days. That's GoToMeeting.com. Press the Try It Free button and enter the promo code podcast. Thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SEL Photography podcast. Really do appreciate it. They've done a lot of good work, I think, supporting lots of podcasts, and we're just one of the many that benefit from GoToMeeting. So let's have a look. So the September 2011 photo assignment was my hometown. So the idea was to get us out there shooting somehow relating to my hometown. So maybe you're shooting in your hometown, or an idea of your hometown. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through the images in the thread. And then we'll talk about next month's, or this month's, because we're already into this month. We're already a third of the way into this month's assignment, what that will be. So first up, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to use people's Flickr name. Do forgive me, because I can't always remember people's real names. And I have hard enough time doing that in my real life, and without trying to remember people's names on Flickr. But so I'm not being flippant or anything like that when I just use people's Flickr usernames. It's just the fact that I've got a rubbish memory and can't remember what their real names are. So here we go, we've got Ike Joe, great guy. He really does drive the Flickr photo group along as well, and he's been mad and about with his Olympus EPL1 little CSE compact system camera. Takes fantastic shots, brilliant quality. And what I like about it, when I play with them at Jessup's as well, with the built-in filters, so you didn't always have to mess around in Photoshop afterwards. You could just whack it on black and white or vivid, and you get some beautiful, beautiful results. So I'm just going to take a quick sip from my coffee. I'm getting a little dry. Now, Ike Joe's first little batch of images, nice black and white one, quite pictorial actually, of a window, and then we've got a cute little dog, looks like a little fox coloured pooch. Like that one, very low angle of view, great example of where changing your view, getting down to the eye height of your subject, can really change the feeling of a photograph, and increase the connection between the photographer and the subject. And then we've got some street photography. It looks like Ike Joe was in his local park. There's a rather fetching one, which I really like, of a lady's legs on a some sort of blanket in the grass, obviously enjoying the sunshine. I like shots like that. You know, they're almost a little bit abstract. You know, it's really boiling and distilling the image down to its component parts, which in this case is, you know, a couple of lines coming in diagonally into the photograph. There's another diagonal line that cuts across with the blanket, and then the lines of the blanket themselves, and then the diagonal pattern on the blanket. Really love, you know, really simple, but really striking. You know, you will remember that image. And then, now this is good. One of the things I'm always worried about with street photography is, what are people going to say? So I have to admit it, quite a lot of the time, if I'm ever doing it, I'll be doing it with a long lens, or maybe I'll be shooting from the hip. But looks like Joe here is, there's a young lady with these massive
platform shoes on, and some person is laughing behind, and I don't know if they're laughing with Joe, whether they've seen him taking a picture and she's actually posing. She has brilliant, nice picture of somebody on a work a park bench from behind, sort of classic looking shot. And photos by Danny B. He's got some. He says a short walk from my house. We've got these beautiful sunset pictures of a riverboat going away from the camera. Really nice. I always love sunsets. I know some people say they're a cliche, but I think you can't beat them. A nice sunset. I mean, we're lucky here to live on the coast. And although now, because of the winter, the nights come on very, very quickly, so I don't get a chance to get down there before I get home from work. I think if you do have an opportunity to go and shoot sunsets, you know, just go down, and you know, some of them can be absolutely wonderful. The best light shows this side of the Aurora Borealis. Arzidek, what does he say? He says, I work in the city Brussels, and I'm trying to make a bit of progress into street photography, so my stream is filled with the stuff. But I live in a small village with nice surroundings, so today I'm sharing some of that in this topic. I reckon I should properly scan at least two of these to get better results. Hey, film! But please bear with me, I've got a huge scanning backlog. And looks like we've got some sort of weird gate. Black and white, nice black and white, nice bit of grain in that, nice bit of contrast. I do love that. And then we've got this great photo, which is really is marvellous, which is, I don't know what it is. If you go over to the, I'll put a link in the show notes, but you basically search Flickr for Robnum Photo, and you'll come to the group. Go to the first shots from Arzitech, and it's an image of, it's like this circular structure, and behind it there's this greenery with walls with round holes on, and it looks like there's trees behind, and the trees are lit, so they're nice and bright green, and then you've got this I don't know what it is, it's just this round thing that's being held up by metal. It's a metal object, and it's a real geometric photograph, and it's fascinating. I really like that. I love the symmetry, I love the way that it's bang on in the middle, and you've got these repeating forms of the circles. And then we've got, looks like some sort of road with a fence and a chain going between two things. Interesting, nice black and white. And then we've got ABVDB, Avidabida, who says, in Fort Capel, Saskatchewan, Canada, there is a very strong presence of First Nation culture, both traditional and modern. This is a picture of the teepee on the Native Government Centre. I believe it is the largest enclosed teepee in the world. Wow, it looks huge. Oh gosh, yeah, you can see. Great photo taken in lovely light. We've got the blue sky, we've got the white of the teepee. And then to put it all into scale, there's some cars next to it. It gives you how huge this teepee is. Fantastic shot. And that's what I like about this thread. There's a nice mix of the almost abstract, which could, I guess you could say, could be taken anywhere, with things that are definitely, look, this is my hometown. This is something you won't see anywhere else. Then we've got Joe again with some more shots from the from his local park. Nice one of a lady reading. Nice little candid. And there's a couple, yeah, these ones I really like. He's taken one of, again, he's got down low, I think, of someone who's sitting down on their back with their leg crossed. Lovely blurred background bokeh. And there's another one of this lady lying on the ground reading a book, I guess, with their dog sort of keeping guard, which I really like. And there's another one. There's obviously a wedding going on, and there's the bride with her bouquet, and there must be either the photographer's or the photographer's assistant. It looks like he's got a reflector in his hand, and he's actually using an R-strap. Good man, just like me. And he's looking quite intense at the bride, and the bride's in nice light, and they're obviously sitting up to do a shot. Then we've got old Matthew Clark, Clarky Snap, my hometown of Colne. The first was taken early one morning while I was waiting for the bus. And we've got this great black and white with the great God beams coming down the road with the church spire in the distance. Nice shot. Nice shot. And then we've got the Muni Coles Concert Theatre Hall. Old granite, I guess it's granite buildings, very nice. And from the hip shot taken during the annual blues festival. Of some local bobbies having a few burgers at the local... nice street shot there. Always, yeah, because you always feel a bit nervous, don't you, taking pictures of the police? I know in the UK, specifically, I think if you're not really meant to take pictures of the directly of the, well, the laws have changed so often, but I think now it's okay to. But for a while, we had these laws on the book that says you weren't meant to take pictures of the police or the armed services, because maybe you're going to be a terrorist and find them on Facebook and kill them or something, so ridiculous. But I'm pretty sure that the powers that be have now advised police officers that no, people are allowed to take pictures of you. Now we're back to Joe again, and he says he's been playing around with his iPhone and a Hipstamatic app. And that brings up, and there's a nice picture of a, looks like some chocolate cake and a silver fork. And again, one of the things I like to do, I take loads of photographs with my phone, with my little HTC Desire. The quality of these little camera phones is amazing. It's as good as compacts from a while ago. The only thing that really spoils my phone is if you're out in bright sunshine, it's very difficult to see the screen. And you're limited in focal length and stuff like that. But you can't beat the fact that you can take a picture, you can edit it, convert it to black and white, cross-process it, all this sort of stuff, and then upload it and share it on Flickr or Facebook or Google Plus really quickly, all in the palm of your hand. It's just incredibly powerful. One of the things I did yesterday while I was covering at our store in Southampton, was I got there a little bit early, so I did a video of the hire car I was given, which was a quite nice layout. It was a diesel though, but it was nice. And I thought, let's have a go at recording a video and taking some shots with the HTC Desire. And I did that. I edited them together on the PC using what program was it? Adobe Premiere Elements, and I've uploaded to YouTube. There's no sound. There's no soundtrack. I'll do that on the next one. But just to see, and the quality was actually, it was all right. Then there's a couple of shots from me late on in the day, from a walk around Leon Solent on a Sunday night a few weeks ago. I just had the 350D with me. Again, a kind of a black and white sunset, some shots of some seagulls. I just liked the fact that there was these seagulls and then there was this guy in the background. And there was this cruiser that was trundling along. But its back was to the Isle of Wight, and so I was waiting. Well, I was kind of ignoring it because it was all a bit jumbled. But then, as it turned around the sort of the headland and to go past Portsmouth, I whacked on my long lens, zoomed up, and got a fairly interesting shot of the cruiser with just an ordinary cloudy sky and then the beach in the foreground. Then we've got G-Neil45, who's got says this is an underpass from my hometown Bracknell. It's a new town, and the town centre is not inspiring, like many UK towns. But this makes a. Ooh, hello. Wait a minute. I've just clicked on the wrong button. I've just clicked through to his photo stream. Always taken with a EOS 1000D. Yeah, and it's a real nice, colourful shot of, I guess, a mural that's painted on the underpass of a sign. Nice, lovely colours. Nice, bright colours. Which is always really good to see. I know I struggle with colours sometimes, and I tend to fall back onto black and white, so I don't have to worry about it. Right, just bear with me a sec while. This computer, which is, I tell you how old Suzanne's computer is, it's got a sticker on it that says made for Windows 95, but she insists on not changing it because she likes the way everything works. No, it does have Windows XP on. G-Neil45 then has a nice picture of a Coca-Cola poster with some great reflection as well. He's taken the time to adjust his angle of view so you get the reflections of some buildings behind as well. Nice work, nice work. A few more from me of local pubs that have shut down. And then Sprocket Man says, taken around 3 miles from where I live, the viaduct carrying the Nottingham to Lincoln railway line over the River Trent, just behind where this was taken. And I'm pretty sure this looks like infrared photography to me because the sky is dark and the foliage, the plants are bright white, and it looks like there's a bit of motion blur going on in the plants, which indicates it's a longer exposure, which you tend to do with infrared. I don't know if it's filmed, it doesn't look very grainy, so it's probably not filmed, could be converted digital, but I'll have to click through to have a look. In fact, let's have a look, let's click through and see how Sprocket Man's done this, because they're really nice. I do like a little bit of the old infrared stuff, it's very nice. I do like dark skies. Let's have a look, see if we've got anything. Here we go.
I wanted a freight train to come past, so due to the loss of light exposure, I give the impression of a ghost train. But none came in the time I was there. Something to go back to, right? So here we go. So digital infrared. Ah, oh, is it digital infrared? Fascinating. Using Olympus E410. Good stuff. Using some filters as well. So yeah, very, very nice. I've got to have a go at infrared. Got to have a go at infrared. Again, with infrared, you tend to have to use a tripod because you use a special filter over the front of your camera that cuts out all the visible light. But as you can imagine, then you're not left with much light coming in at all because your camera does have an infrared filter on the inside. So you've got to use very long exposures. Right, then we've got Big Pic, taken on a walk with my family and dog. Again, another one of those shots that says, you know, this is my hometown. I've been out and I'm taking the extra effort to take some photographs, and there's some nice sheep all looking up. And a swan. Oh, I do like swans with reflection, very nice. A youngster running away from the camera. No more pictures of me, thank you. So there we go, very good. A fantastic bunch of photographs there. Well done for everybody for taking part and posting their photos to the Flickr photo group. Even if you didn't take part, but you took some photographs that related to my hometown last month, you've done very well. So let's have a look. Ideas for October's photo assignment. Now, I did put a call out saying, you know, anyone with any ideas, go to the Flickr photo group and stick them in. And I'll do the same again at the end of this month. So Joe and Matthew had some great ideas, but I thought I would join two of the ideas together for an assignment. Now, this might be a little bit controversial. I don't know how many people will bother to have a go at this one because it will be out of people's comfort zone, to give you a hint. And so we have best self-portrait. So, kind of joining us together. So I feel out of my comfort zone if I've got to take a self-portrait. But for this month's photo assignment, for October, could we please have a go at taking a self-portrait? Now, don't think that a self-portrait has to be a headshot, you know, of you, or, you know, even your face in it at all. Basically, I just want something related to self-portrait. So you can do it whatever way you want. And I would advise, one of the things maybe you could do, but I'm going to do it now, I'm going to search Flickr for self-portrait. If you're ever looking for ideas, here we go, self-portrait, let's see what. Search everyone's uploads. Here we go. Let's just see what pops up, just for some ideas. And we'll do it. And oh, whenever you do a search on Flickr, one of the coolest things to do is, in the filters, click on interesting. And that will apply Flickr's kind of algorithm. And it will come up with the ones that it thinks are most interesting, which tend to be quite unusual and good photographs. So here we go, self-portraits. And it gives, you know, there's loads of different ideas here for different types of portraiture. So, for example, we've got your normal headshots. We've got people looking at the camera. We've got people looking away from the camera. We've got the picture of somebody's legs. There you go. So self-portrait might not even include your house, your face at all. We've got somebody, yeah, there's a picture of a doctor. We've got a shadow. There we go. We've got somebody. You know, there's a couple there, Tara Kate, which are like, you've probably seen them where people either use Photoshop or they freeze the action to take a picture. It looks like they're flying or jumping or something like that. So, you know, that's great self-portraits. Let's see what's next. Here we go. There's a guy using I like that. He's got a frame around his head. Somebody dribbling oil all over themselves. Somebody with an orange in place of an eye. Somebody crouching down. Very good. Very good. Loads of different ideas. So there we go. I'll put a link into the Flickr search for self-portrait on the I'll put one on the robmanphoto.com group, and I'll also put one on the new Flickr thread that I'll set up in a minute to advertise the self-portrait. So for this month, a self-portrait, so we're out of our comfort zone. There we go. How about that? But you don't have to have your face in the portrait if you don't want to. Just use your imagination to come up with, I don't know, something interesting. Well, that's it from me. Thanks, everybody, for listening to me drone on for the last half an hour. It's been quite a long one, isn't it, today? And thanks everybody for taking part in the Flickr photo group, commenting on the robinonphoto.com blog, and generally being involved in the SCL photography podcast. My name's Rob from robinonphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.